So let's look at some texts. I hope you enjoy this now. About the special love that Yahweh has for his people. That come out of, that you could miss in the middle of all the barrage of stuff. And I'll read them. You can see the text reference there. I won't say it here. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my heritage. That's what it looked like, eh? With the city collapsing and all that. Get into the situation of the Babylonian war and all that. I've forsaken my house. I've abandoned my heritage. I've given the beloved of my heart into the hands of her enemies. It's a beautiful text. If I say this too often, you've got to tell me, but can you see behind it is a misunderstanding? Because they were defeated by the Babylonians, they assumed God organized it. So the I there, oh. I don't quite know what I'm doing here. I'll go back a bit. Constancy in proclaiming the unpopular message and the trust that he had in Yahweh. Jeremiah has quite a lot to say about so-called prophets who don't listen to God and so don't proclaim God's word. Along with this radical trust went an honesty in expressing his personal suffering and the doubts he experienced, as well as the anger he felt at God's giving him his ministry and then appearing to leave him high and dry. Especially when the situation made it appear that his words were not going to be fulfilled. Jeremiah felt used, even deceived, and he expresses this. In no other prophetic scroll do we find such feelings expressed as powerfully and convincingly. And it allows us to feel like this too. When you, with your little kids, you might have felt sometimes abandoned by God when you've got all these kids and you've struggled for an hour to get them to church. I was at Mass last Sunday, there's a woman there on her own with three kids, and I thought, what a hero. And you struggle to get there and you arrive a minute late and the Irish priest thunders at you for being late for Mass. And you might feel a bit wounded and feel as though God's abandoned you. And all it was a stupid priest didn't understand what it was like to get kids ready to go to Mass. Okay, so Jeremiah felt that way, so cheer up. He felt used and deceived. The importance of Jeremiah's words for the exiles in Babylon and for those who return to Yehud, which is the name they give to Judah after the exile, only to find that their high hopes were not realized as they continued to languish politically and economically. Jeremiah's complaining was in the context of his continued belief in the goodness and fidelity of God. And now the texts I was reading for you. I've forsaken my house. This is Jeremiah's understanding. God didn't forsake the house. The Babylonians had a better army. Are you okay? But he thought, well, it couldn't happen unless God organized it. So God must have forsaken. So that's what he says. And I've abandoned my heritage. Well, clearly it looks that way to Jeremiah. We wouldn't see it that way. People, when they looked at Jesus on the cross, thought God had abandoned Jesus. Jesus felt abandoned. But God didn't abandon him. It's just, this is the human... Okay. I've given... Now, this is the bit I want to stress. I've given into the hands of my enemies the beloved of my heart. So there's no doubting the love. Another text. As the loincloth clings to one's loins. So we're pretty intimate here. So I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me in order that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, a glory. But they wouldn't listen. So he's got them as close as that intimate place where the loins are, obviously. So it's really intimate. That's what God wanted, but they didn't want his love. Another text. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you. So please change, Jeremiah's saying, God is saying through Jeremiah, as Jeremiah sees it, but I'm always faithful to you. And another text, you show steadfast love, says Jeremiah of God, to the thousandth generation. Thousand is the biggest number in Hebrew. So you can only have multiples of thousand. They haven't got a word like million or trillion or anything. So thousand is the biggest number. Well, you can't get more than this. A thousand generations, you show special love. But I repay the guilt of parents into the laps of their children after them. O great and mighty God, whose name is Yahweh of hosts. Later prophets will argue with that. They say, no, God doesn't punish children for what their parents did. But it looked like it to Jeremiah. Can you imagine? The whole city's being destroyed, including the little kids. So his understanding of God was imperfect. And if God's going to speak through anyone, he's going to speak through an imperfect person. So he chose Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had beautiful gifts and was able to say so much that was important and relevant, but necessarily imperfect. Here's some texts that talk about God's regret at having to punish. And I'm just picking them from Jeremiah. I thought how I would set you among my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful heritage of all the nations. I thought you'd call me my father and wouldn't turn from following me. That's what God thought, but they did. Another text. My anguish, I writhe in pain. This is God's writhing as Jeremiah feels it. So he's feeling the writhing, but he thinks, understands that it's really God that he's giving expression to. So the anguish is both Jeremiah's and God's. My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I can't keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet and the alarms of war. Another text. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Some years ago when I was chaplain at the university, it's happened a few times, but that's the one I remember most. You've got to be so careful. Christianity, these people, I don't know who they were, and it doesn't matter to me yet, but they went into this person who had just lost a child in hospital. And they said to her, if only you'd prayed more. I mean, it's hard to say without crying. It's so dreadful. I mean, it's sinful, but we can be that way. Whereas what they should have said is a woman, let's say, I'll take a woman, as God is weeping as much as the woman. Do you get me? So God's not controlling this world. God is loving the world, and love weeps. Look at Jesus at Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was in a total mess, and Jesus wept over the city. He didn't go in and organize it. We've got to get out of our head the idea that God controls, and we have to get into our head that God loves. And there's a shadow side to all that, I know, but somehow or other, the idea of God controlling doesn't work, and it's very bad theology, but it's everywhere. It's underlying so much of what we read and what people say. Well, here's Jeremiah. For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. There's God weeping. Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. So Jeremiah is weeping. You would be too, over what's happening in his city. Another text. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he the child I delight in? As often as I speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore, I'm deeply moved for him. the eye is God, I will surely have mercy on him. Is this okay? I'm picking out the little phrases that without this, you could, if you read Jeremiah, you could get totally overwhelmed with all the threats and the punishment and the anger. Like, that's so big that it washes all over you, and you could miss these gems of insight and forget where the threats are coming from. Some texts on God's fidelity. Let those who boast in this, that they understand and know me, know intimate, that I am Yahweh. I act with steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. That's an image of God that's extraordinarily beautiful. And when Jeremiah was writing to the exiles, this is after the fall of Jerusalem and before its destruction, he wrote a letter to them, and it included these beautiful words, chapter 29, verse 11 and the following. And you might need to write this down and remember it. I'm in the text because it's a beautiful one. He says, surely, now they're in a mess. They've lost their country. They've lost their king. They've lost their temple. They've lost everything that they knew. They're in exile in a foreign land. They didn't go there on a leaky boat, but they did the equivalent. Surely I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare, not your harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call to me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you in exile. I'd love to have taken Jeremiah out of the situation he was in. You can't, of course. In those dreadful 20 years of massive destruction, take him out and put him in a beautiful place. I reckon he would have been a great fella. Like, there's lovely sentiments are coming through all the time. And that's why he gets so exhausted, which you nearly all are too, but I've only got one more page for you, and then we'll have a break. Because it's Yahweh who's punishing, in Jeremiah's understanding, Jeremiah knows that the deserved punishment cannot be the final word. Yahweh will bring the exiles home and restore his land, his heritage, his vineyard. And we'll finish with this text on this matter. Chapter 24, I will set my eyes upon them for good. Think of your own family, think of your own country, think of the world. I will set my eyes on them for good. I'll bring them back to this land. I'll build them up, I won't tear them down. I'll plant them, I won't pluck them up. He's already done that, do you know what I mean? In Jeremiah's understanding, he's plucked them up. But that's not what he wants to do. I'll give them, beautiful text, I'll give them a heart to know that I am Yahweh. That's an absolutely stunning line, because it's the heart that knows. I'll give them a heart to know that I am Yahweh. And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, and they will return to me with all their heart.